Psalm 22 verse 3 says that God indwells the praises of His people. God is enthroned on the praises of His people. Literally, it means He's sitting right there. When you're praising God, He is right there. When we praise, God is there. Now, on the other hand, since God is indwelling or enthroned in the praises, we do know this, that God indwells us. Therefore, we are a throne of God. We are therefore to be a God-bearing, that's proper English actually. We are to be a God-bearing person in our existence, so much so that we will or we should radiate His glory out there to the people that we touch, because the Holy Spirit indwells us. They should get to the place where they are thankful that we are friends, that they move in our circles because they see something about us that is totally unique. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm just saying that people should say, I'm awestruck by this person. This person has got something that I would like to have, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God gives us a song. Believe it or not, God gives us a song, and our part of that song is to sing that song. He gives us a victory song, something that we can brag about and tell people. It doesn't mean that we have to literally break forth in rapturous song, because you guys have heard me sing, and I've heard some of you all sing. That would be a better thing if we didn't sing. But we're going over to Zephaniah for one verse. Zephaniah's in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, verse 17. And listen to what it says. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now, to break it down, and once again, I want you to exercise your faith, because we can't always see what the Bible says, but it says that God right now is right here. He's in our midst. He is dwelling with us. It does not matter whether you feel it. Feeling is a thing that the world goes by. Sometimes we feel great. Sometimes we feel like a nut. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we eat almond joys. Sometimes we eat almond mounds or whatever. We can't let our feelings dictate us. There is a reality in this world, and those things that are real, we have to stand by them whether we see them or feel them. And the fact that we need to stand on right now is that God is right here. We are to live by faith, not by sight. We are to live by the reality, by the Word of God. And He states to us through His prophet that He is in our midst right now. And when I say that, I don't mean it's the essence of God is everywhere. Therefore, He is in our midst. He's in the Sunday school classroom that's totally empty. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the providential side of God. That presence of God that says He's here, and He's here because He is concerned with us. He is here and He's in our midst because He favors us. We are His kids, and He is here to bless us, to be with us, to lead, guide, and direct us. And all we have to do is say, this is what God says. He's here. He's here now, and He is here to bless me, to help me, to lead me, to guide me, because I'm His kid. Now, as we are in His presence, keep exercising your faith, saying, amen, that's what it says, that's the way it is. In Isaiah 41, we're not going to read it, it just says this. God says, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will, and these are things that He will do. No matter what you do, these are the things that He says that He will do. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Now this is God, Yahweh, the Lord. This God is in our midst. And the only way I can try, and I'm going to try to make a point here, and I don't know because I don't have a big booming bass voice. God, the eternal being, the being of beings, the unchangeable one, the all-sufficient, the perfect one. This Almighty God is here now, and He's your God. He is your God, and He is here out of concern for you. He wants you to accept this fact by faith that He is here for you. Now, back to that text of Zephaniah, which was 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee with singing. He is here, and He is rejoicing over you with joy. He is glad to see you. He is just, wow! He is overjoyed. And that's what it actually means. It's not just, oh yeah, look who's here. Woohoo! They're supposed to be here. It is, He is overjoyed to the point that He, and this is my take on the understanding of it, He is almost, and He might be completely, in a state of awe. Oh, they showed up. Oh, they've assembled. And I'm here with them. I'm with my family. I'm with my kids. And He's overjoyed that way. Over the top is what it's trying to say. He's over the top that you're here. He's over the top with happiness that you are His kid. And then it says that He will rest in His love. I know I've preached over the years since I've been here that we need to rest in God. We need to trust in God. And when you're resting, almost picture yourself as though you're on a beach under an umbrella in one of those chaise lounges, I think they're called, one of those chairs that you're sitting there all stretched out drinking a iced tea, extra sweet. And you're there enjoying it. And though everything around you seems to be falling apart, you're sitting there going, yep, everybody thinks I should be shook, but I'm trusting my God. And that's what rest is. But He is resting in His love for us. He is resting going, it's okay. I like these people. I like my kids. And that rest idea is a steady state. It means that He is just right there. It's just an existence that He has with us, a relationship that He has with us. It is just constant. It doesn't vary. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. He just says, I'm at peace with this. I'm at peace that these are my kids. I'm at peace and I am thrilled. If God wears socks, He's just thrilled until His socks falls off, that kind of idea. I'm just thrilled to my little toes. He's just so happy that we are His kids and we chose. And because He's in that state of rest and relationship with us, we are to have that same kind of rest and relationship with Him. If He likes us that much, we can relax and go, whew, He's here for me, and He's going to help me, and He's going to strengthen me. He's going to uphold me. He's going to walk with me through these problems and these tribulations I have. He is right here. I don't have to feel His hand on my shoulder. I don't have to see His footprint in the sand. It says, this is the way it is, and I trust Him not to lie to me. Therefore, I am resting in His love for me, and He is resting in His love for me. And the only way I can express this awesome love that He has for you, this, He just, whoa, these are my kids. To the place where actually the rest can also be interpreted as He's just quiet. He just, whoa. And He looks at us. And that's, if you ever watch someone that you really care about, it might be a kid out there playing baseball or on the basketball court, but you're just watching it and you're going, that's my kid. You're entranced. You're just speechless. You just rejoice going. And it doesn't matter whether the kid is playing that good of baseball. It's just your kid, and look at him out there, or her, trying, putting the effort out, and you're so pleased that that child is yours, at least at the moment, because we're human, our kids aren't perfect. I was, but my parents didn't appreciate that. Anyway, God marvels at us the way we marvel at our kids. That is the way God is over you. He just marvels at this fact. And He wants this to get across to us in such a way. That last phrase down there, it says that He will joy over us with singing. That is big word, and I hope I say it right because I had to look it up. Plenazem. Plenazem. Or something like that. It just means that God has made a statement and then He goes overboard. He uses words that are totally unnecessary because He's trying to drive home this point. And the point was that He is happy with us, that He loves us, and that He is joyful, and He's here with us, it says, and this is the driving home point, He will joy over you with singing. Because you're here, because you're trusting in Jesus Christ with your life, no matter how much rack and ruin's going on, when you say, He's my God, and I trust Him. It causes Him to sing. We're always at the place of, we need to sing the praises of God. Let's stand up and sing the praises of God. This right here says that He sings over you. The fact that you are His child and He is so enamored with you that it actually causes our God to sing over us. Some places it says to shout with joy. Some places it interprets as shout with victory. But I just like the way the King James says it. He is caused to sing over us. We motivate our God to sing over us with great joy that we are His kids. And we are His kids. And this is, if you take nothing away from this, but this, it's a song of victory that He has given us through His Son. This is the important part. Christ's sacrifice has washed away our sins. His sacrifice didn't just cover it. It literally washed them away. They are done away with. Those sins are destroyed. And in one place it says they were nailed to the cross and they died. Our failures was nailed to that cross and they died. They were cast into the sea. They were done away with. He wants us to understand that it's not just covered. It's not just, oh, He can't see it, but He knows it's there. No, our failures are done away with completely. And this is the important part. When the cause is removed, the effect will cease. When the cause is removed, the effect will cease. If you have a glass of water and you constantly drip, 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 the surface of that glass is always going to be with that constant dropping of water, there's ripples on the top of that. But when that constant dropping of the water ceases and you stop dropping the water and the water is removed, the drips are removed, the effect that it's causing will quit happening. Now, when the cause ceases or is removed, the effect will cease. When the cause, sin, is removed and our sins are removed from us, the effect will cease. You say, but still, I'm not perfect. I'm still stumbling around. The effects will cease. Those water drops that you did, that last one, even though you quit and there was not another drop, there's still going to be ripples for a little while. So what we're facing here is the actions of the sin that had been set in motion, but it will cease. If our sin were a huge mountain and it was plucked up, and it was cast into the ocean, there would be a huge tidal wave go out from it. But that mountain is gone, and eventually those ripples, those waves will cease because the mountain has disappeared, it's been removed, and there will become a calm that is the reaction or the removal of the cause, and the effect will become peace. I'd like to say it so much better, but I don't know how. So those ripples in our life will decrease, because we have to, by faith, say this: our sins have been done away with. Our good will get better. our better, will improve. You are on an improvement scale now. It will improve, and the best will be achieved when we get to heaven. Know this, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you trusted Him to take your sins and to forgive you of your sins, He took your sins, threw them away. And that is going to start bringing peace into your life. You might be riding out a few tidal waves right now in your life, but it will decrease. It will decrease. It will decrease. Walk by faith. He will be there to uphold us, to give us strength. He is singing over us. He is shouting over us. He is singing a song of victory over us. He gave us songs of victory. And our job is to sing those songs in faith, knowing I might not be perfect now, but the day is coming and I will have completion in Christ. And until then, He's going to cause me to get better. That was what the whole introduction was over. His intent is to cause that righteousness that He just gave to us. He instilled it in us. He's going to cause that righteousness to start coming out in us. It's not always, boom, there it is. But it is boom. It's not always that way. But it is going to happen. Just like the sun is going to rise and set in the west, it will happen in your life. Don't regret any sins that you did not commit. Do not regret them. You will not regret them if you don't commit them. But like that old song says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And it'll dump you right there in the midst of problems. But even at any time when you turn to Christ, He will take that sin and cause it to be thrown away, and your life will become more and more peaceful. Trust in your God, the Almighty. Trust in your God. Shall we pray? God, there's just nothing that I can say other than thank You. So what's our closing hymn?